Today's episode of Who Weekly is brought to you by The CW. Watch new episodes of Katie Keene on Thursdays at 8, 7 Central, which ultimately is 8 Pacific. Think about it. Or what does that make it in Mountain?
Don't you dare.
Or stream free the next day on the CW app.
You will dream it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They want to know.
To be famous. Welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Bobby Finger.
I'm Lindsay Weber.
And Jake Paul almost had to clap up Zayn from One Direction because he is a little guy who has an attitude and basically told me to fuck off for no reason when I was being nice to him. ... Zayn, I know you're reading this. ... Stop being angry because you came home alone to your big ass hotel room. Ha 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 ha. And then after Jake Paul tweeted that, Gigi Hadid tweeted at Jake Paul and said,
"Lol, cuz he don't care to hang out with you and your embarrassing crew of YouTube groupies. Home alone with his best friends like respectful king cuz he has me, sweetie. Unbothered by your irrelevant, ugly ass. Go to bed."
Go to bed. Hours and hours later, Jake Paul tweets, "Someone needs to take my phone when I'm drunk because I am a fucking idiot." Unbothered by your irrelevant, ugly ass is absolutely devastating. It's like, yeah, it's definitely the gif of like the kid doing the Home Alone face.
Respectful king. Like a respectful king. Also, her grammar is out of control, but that's
right.
Fine.
To be clear, everyone involved in this situation is a psychopath, but Gigi Hadid won.
I mean, she clearly won. And apparently, so it was like, what's going on with this? I kind of just assumed that Jake Paul was starting shit because his whole thing is boxing. So if he can like get in a fight with someone, he's like, oh, box me. And that's literally his career, you know, celebrity boxing essentially. But apparently they're both in Vegas and they both attended this boxing match, but like an actual boxing match, not a Jake Paul boxing match.
The
Tyson Fury and the Dante Wilder match, which is like apparently a big deal. They were staying in penthouses next to each other at the Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino, which I've never heard of. What is the Westgate?
Westgate is, you know what the Westgate is?
No.
Westgate is the one owned by Queen of Versailles lady.
Interesting.
In Las Vegas, we looked out our window and we kind of copied the top three floors of the Paris Hotel. Probably should have used smaller envelopes because it turned out to be the largest home in America.
We never sought out to build the biggest house in America. It's like kind of happened.
They're both staying at neighboring penthouses and Jake Paul invited Zayn to hang out. And then Zayn said no. And he was like,
understandably.
Mad. Right. And Zayn was like, no, I don't want to hang out with you. And then he was mad.
Okay.
Jake also tweeted, bro, he started yelling and freaking the fuck out. You want to test me, mate? He said in another now deleted tweet. LOL, I feel bad for child stars. God.
Jesus.
He deleted that one. But he left up this one. The one that Gigi Hadid clapped back at. But that's
it's good.
That's literally all that happened.
It's a nice low stakes, low level Twitter exclusive feud. The moment Gigi Hadid tweets at you like that, you don't keep going.
I believe that Bella Hadid is boring, but I guess Gigi Hadid is not boring.
What are some of your sneaker turnoffs though?
You know what? I'm cool with it and I don't mind dirty sneakers, but they better be fresh, okay. You know? If homeboy is coming through with these, it's quiet. Yeah, no, it's quiet for him. But like if he comes through in like these, you got some Air Maxes out here.
Yeah.
You got some Jordans. Homeboy's gonna like get it.
You know?
I believe that. I sort of cocked my head when you said that. I was like, yeah, sure.
I mean, if she's out saying unbothered by your irrelevant ugly ass.
I believe Zayn is boring. And let me tell you why. He didn't get involved here at all. And also, I don't think you're tons of fun if Gigi Hadid refers to you as a respectful king.
Wow.
I feel like you're very boring. Wow. I feel like you're boring and you're sort of like just a boring, sweet boyfriend. A respectful king.
He is a respectful king.
Unbothered.
There's nothing wrong with the other thing also is that, of course, you don't want to hang out with dudes who essentially also make their money filming for YouTube. You don't want to be on Jake Paul's YouTube channel. And I think that they bait them into being on their YouTube channel.
so that they can get more views.
Yeah, I think it's like if Zayn was partying with Jake Paul after this fight, he would have tried to film him for YouTube.
ET recently asked the YouTube star and now boxer about his plans for the future.
I don't know what the future holds.
Come on, come on.
We'll see. I really don't know. If you asked me like 3 years ago, would I be standing here right now doing a interview about boxing and knocking kids out, I'd be like, absolutely not. I'm on Disney Channel and I'm a vlogger. So like, I don't know what the future holds, but you know, you never know.
We talked about this on Thursday briefly, and I was like, we can't talk about it. We have to save it for Tuesday. So listen up. Because it's near the top of the Billboard charts, and I was like, no one called about Dance Monkey.
I think a lot of who's on the Billboard charts. I think people have in the past, but
no
one
that week.
Still, when the song was on its way up, maybe when the song was huge in Australia, not here, then it crossed over. Now it's like,
and now it's big everywhere.
Right.
You know, there are certain songs that you hear. We talk about this a lot, like in the grocery store at the.
Yes, they're called the Dwayne Reed songs.
The Dwayne Reed songs.
The main Dwayne Reed song is "Need You Tonight."
Yeah, but but there are a lot that are currently on the charts. Like I remember,
"Need You Tonight" is still playing at the Dwayne Reed, so it's still.
What's the Ariana Grande song that I heard everywhere? "No Tears Left to Cry" and "Break Up with Your Boyfriend." Those played everywhere all the time. I don't hear Dance Monkey in public a lot, and I feel like maybe I'm just not in the right spaces for that. Like maybe I'm too old to hear Dance Monkey in public.
It is a humongous song in public, but I haven't really heard it at the Dwayne Reed. Although it really should be playing at the Dwayne Reed.
I feel like it'd be a good Dwayne Reed song.
Yeah. Instead, I only hear that song. Dwayne Reed's anthem.
I heard "That's the Way It Is" at the Walgreens recently.
Oh my!
And it was as I was stepping out, and I sort of like
stopped.
I had paid for my conditioner.
You had stood there.
Buy one get one half off. By the way.
Okay, great. And you stood there.
And I stood there for an extra 2 seconds because I was like, is it? Because "That's the Way It Is" starts with that like sort of ethereal like.
Yeah, I know. I've heard it.
And I heard but before Celine's voice comes in, it's like, it's just the dreaminess first. And I was like, I think. And then she was like, and I was like, yep. And then I walked out. I was like, that's it. I just needed the satisfaction of knowing that it was, that's the way it is. And that's the way it was.
Yeah, I have a problem. Speaking of Celine Dion, as you're leaving, this running class that I take, the part where they stretch at the end, which I do a little stretching, but I do my own stretching. So I usually leave when they stretch. But one of the teachers now for the stretching portion always puts on "To Love You More." And then I want to stay to hear "To Love You More."
I was so like, which one is "To Love You More"? That's a deep cut kind of.
Yeah. So he puts on Celine Dion's "To Love You More." I always go, well, should I stretch here? Should I stay? Should I stretch? because it's such a good song. Also with an iconic beginning.
I don't know the beginning. You're going to have to play the beginning here in the episode.
Yeah, it's iconic. You know it. You hear it and you're like, oh.
Dance Monkey, I think, has sort of an iconic opening.
What is it again?
Wait.
What is it again? Yeah, it is.
That has the bup, bup, bup. Like, you'd know that.
Yeah. It's a great story. I mean, I don't love the song. I really have to be honest.
Either.
It does not do it to me. But the story of the song and of this artist is so compelling.
Mm-hmm.
So compelling.
And it has two things that we love about pop cultural figures. One, the person is Australian. Two, the person is embroiled in an age controversy. So
I didn't know that.
We know Dance Monkey, Tones and I, is from Australia, but we don't know how old she is. She claims, or she doesn't even claim, a lot of the internet claims she's 19, but then a lot of the internet is like, wait a second, I think she was born in 1993, not 2000. So
well,
that's a fun thing that she just hasn't addressed.
When is she born?
I I think there are a lot of older, it doesn't matter, because the big issue you get into with age controversies is when the artist themselves gets involved, you know? When they get involved and they're like, that's not true, that's not whatever. But because this artist, Toni Watson, isn't saying anything, then I'm like, I don't care. Like, it's not fun if the artist doesn't care.
By Tones and I. But her name is Toni Watson.
Which is T-O-N.
And the reason why this song is relevant or big or whatever, it is literally Australia's number one song of like all time now somehow. It's the longest running number one single in their history, right?
It beat White Christmas. It beat Bing Crosby's all-time Australian record for his version of White Christmas,
right,
which spent 22 weeks, which is 5 months, which is, as this Wikipedia article points out, June to October.
Right.
As the number one song on Australia.
An Australian can call in and confirm, but you must be
in the summer.
You must be hearing this song non-stop.
But why was White Christmas number one in June? We're getting derailed. The song came out almost a year ago, and it was one of those songs that was a very slow burn. It was big in Australia, then it got big everywhere else. Now it's big here, and she won tons of awards at the Australian Music Awards. Everyone has like profiles of this woman. The New York Times thing, the behind the song.
No, it's
thing
really that... good. She was a busker in Byron Bay, which is, I guess, a place where a lot of buskers go to play music. And she got a following where people would actually show up to hear her specifically versus like tourism kind of stumbling into her. People showed up to go hear her.
I used to work at a surf shop on Bourke Street, which is really busiest part of Melbourne. And there was like, you could busk on Bourke Street. I really, really wanted to busk. I couldn't even play an instrument at this point. One of my friends was like, you should come to Byron because you can literally just park up and busk out of the side of your van. And I was like, okay, I'll give it a go. So I bought a van, moved to Byron Bay, and started living in my van.
According to Wikipedia, the single hit number 5 in the US. It's not quite number one. It's getting blocked.
Oh, yeah. It's way up there. I think that's why we brought it up, because it shared the charts with Justin Bieber and...
Right, because Bieber...
The Box. It's currently number 5 on the Hot 100.
And oh, yeah.
Its
that's what
peak
it says
has number.
Media.
Its peak is number 5.
Its peak is number 5. And above it is...
So that's Tones and I. Okay, good. We talked about her. The song. Cool.
Is there anything interesting about her other than like her start and then the age thing? No,
she's
we don't
just
know
very
about
young.
Her.
No. I thought there'd be something interesting, but
this
she's
is kind
like
of
very
a Louis
young.
Capaldi thing where it's unclear. There's not a lot of... It's more just about the... where she and he came from, the newness of it all, and the one song, that one important song. It's like, oh, well, can they follow
the
up these songs?
Unpredictable song.
Yeah, it could. Is this a one-hit wonder?
I love busking. There's so many good, amazing people on the street. It's the reason that I'm here. But there was one night that was very frustrating, and I wrote a song about that. People grab my hands and be like, you know, you stopped me dead in my tracks while I was walking by. You know you stopped me dead while I was passing by. Just sing one more song, just one more song. I'm just gonna get my husband. I'm literally just repeating what people tell me. That's why if you replace dance with the word sing, it's just about me busking.
Quick headline. Gemma Collins claims her tire, T-Y-R-E, was slashed outside Harrods before offering mechanic gifts from her boutique, .. despite being banned as company director.
This is one of those headlines that is, you have to break it down by part.
Mm-hmm.
First of all,
you got a diagram.
Is that
Let's
how rich
diagram
people
it.
Spell tire?
That's, I didn't realize that until... we saw this headline,
like,
and I was like, oh,
they
okay,
spell it like
sense.
Pyre, like a fire, like a pyre.
I guess.
Hmm.
Because then I feel like it, so it doesn't confuse you with like that's tiring. Like,
so maybe it's smart.
Exhausting.
But I never confuse tire with tiring.
I know, but written.
But even then. Okay.
I don't know.
Okay, and then Harrods, which is a department store.
Which is a store. A store
offering her mechanic gifts from her boutique. Oh, so she went to get her tire fixed and she was like, mm-hmm. Oh, instead of paying for this tire, I'll give you gifts from my boutique.
I don't know that she did it instead of paying. I think she did it in addition to paying.
Okay, but we don't know anything. Yeah, and then apparently 5 days ago she was banned, which I don't even know what that means, from being company director because her business owed 70,000 pounds in tax.
It was a different... See, it has nothing to do with this. It's just... she was giving gifts from the boutique where she was banned as company director. They okay. really don't have much to do with each
but
other.
But she did actually have to, she did owe 71,000 pounds in back taxes.
Yeah.
And that shut down her business.
Which is why she has so much to give away, I guess. So it says, in the video, Gemma praised the mechanic and demanded he bring his wife to her Essex boutique, despite reportedly being banned from directing a company for the next 3 years following an investigation into her liquidated clothing business.
Right. Which is called, by the way, Gemma Collins. It literally is her name.
So last week, the lovely Carol emailed in and asked me if houses have feelings. Now, I went on to say that, yeah, you know, you can walk into a house and get a certain feeling, but does the house have feelings? So you really did give me food for thought. So I literally Googled it.
I think it's time for Most Markless Headline of the Week.
What is the national animal of England? Am I supposed to know that?
Do we have nominees?
Yeah, we do. The Queen wants Prince Harry and Meghan Markle's departure from the royal family, quote, over and done with. And that's, the quote is from a source. It's not from the Queen. So the next one, I believe, is, what is this, Refinery 29? Meghan Markle reportedly has some, quote, secret visits planned for her and Prince Harry's trip to the UK. Boring. Okay, boring.
Boring.
Then there's
boring.
This one, which a lot of people wrote about. Meghan Markle's best friend, Jessica Mulroney, remember her, is, quote, setting up new international charities in her and Harry's name.
Well, I read this, too. This is just news. Yeah. This is not even headline interesting. Mm-hmm. Just news.
She's the one who registered SussexGlobalCharities.com.
I know her. She got her friend to do it, which is so weird, but whatever.
But they can't use the Sussex Royal brand.
So they're doing Sussex.
That's the whole
Sussex
thing.
Sussex Global.
Sussex Global.
Sure. Okay.
But I think this is the winner.
It's not like we don't know what they are, who they are at this point. Yeah. It doesn't, you don't need royal to remind us.
Just say Harry and Meghan.
Yeah.
Like, who needs Sussex?
Also, who wants, also, to, you be, don't live who wants to be connected to the throne anyways? It's like, that's some corrupt shit.
No, from now on, you are Harry and Meghan of Los Angeles.
Right. Toronto. Toronto.
For Toronto. Yeah. Well, Toronto soon to be by way of
Canada,
Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Or is it the other way? This is the winner, I think. Prince Harry and Meghan Markle could earn over 85,000 pounds per Instagram post in their bid to become financially independent, more than twice as much as Prince William
Incredible.
And Kate Middleton, expert claims.
Meanwhile, none of them have earned money for any Instagrams yet. This is just an expert looking at Instagram saying, here's how much money they could earn.
That's a good expert job.
Says they boast twice the earning power of Prince William and Kate Middleton. Comes following the boost to their following after they stepped down as seniors. Oh,
it's just based on follow count. That's
it. Is very
it's just
silly.
Like,
this is very silly.
It's just based
silly.
On follow count.
This is a very silly article. Of course, it's Daily Mail. It's very silly.
Do we think that that's the winner?
I mean, I feel like Daily Mail always wins. And I want to find headlines in which they don't, in which other people win. But that is the stupidest one, definitely.
Just desperate for an expert. They found one.
I mean, I'm sure the expert came to them and was like, hey, I'm an expert in social media. And my opinion is that Harry and Meghan will earn more in Wikipedia than William and Kate. And William and Kate aren't trying to earn money on Wikipedia. Did I say Wikipedia instead of Instagram? Wow. Put me out to pasture. The point is that William and Kate aren't earning money on Instagram at all. No one is earning money on Instagram here.
They can't.
This makes it seem like Harry and Meg are going to be like, buy my like fit tee, buy my, you know, whatever. What else do people sell on Instagram these days? The same shit we sell on this podcast.
The smile brighteners.
Buy my, yeah, can you see, tea. Can you see Harry like brushing his teeth with like a charcoal toothpaste or whatever and is like, buy my teeth whitener or whatever. Megan loves
it.
Oh,
you know what William would do? You know what William would do?
What, hair loss?
Hymns.
Yeah.
Hymns. Yeah. Hymns.
Yeah. But who would buy it based on his, the out, it has to be like, it looks like it works.
That's true. He would have to say that I'm starting to use it.
Well,
I don't think he cares.
I'm more thinking like, what are Harry and Meghan going to be? They can't do anything. They can't use their Instagram to sell anything. Sorry. Aside from charity, aside from money for starving children and animals,
And that's what they'll do. Right. This is, like you said, this is a worthless story. They would never sell stuff on their Instagram.
It would completely
cheapen their brand. Like, when you're making $1 million to speak at, like, a Goldman Sachs event, you're not going to do this.
And also, any type of in real life event is preferable to social media. Like, they're always going to choose to do a speaking event or anything that is kind of barely a blip unless you were there over the shit.
The sort of subliminal SponCon where it's like Megan might get another Everlane bag, you know, like where it's like,
well, now she's allowed technically to do that stuff. Remember how she kind of wasn't allowed to.
They'll pay her to carry a bag, or they'll pay Harry to like wear a certain coat, you know, like that's the sort of stuff you can do. Whether or not they will do it is yet to be seen.
Okay.
Maybe they'll get a new Tesla. Maybe they'll get a Cybertruck. They'll drive around in a Cybertruck.
Maybe we'll drive around in our Cybertrucks together. Beep, beep, so
let's ride. Maybe Megan's going to get a free apartment at 300 Ashland. All of these things are possible now.
Right, but she would say, I'm not posting. I'll do something else in exchange for this free apartment at 300 Ashland. Are they still giving
up apartment to like?
Are they still giving out apartments there? I think they are.
I don't know.
Maybe they stopped.
It still has that stuff on the sign where it's like, there's a lot of vacancies in that building. Let me tell you.
Interesting. Should have asked me to move in. I would have filled that building. Just kidding. I wouldn't have.
Speaking of vacancies, there's going to be a lot of vacancies on magazine covers because SZA doesn't want to do them anymore.
Vacancies on magazine covers. Nice transition.
Thank you. SZA, Normani, and Megan Thee Stallion were on the cover of Rolling Stone in a very cool photo. The problem is SZA hated the cover, apparently.
This is it's very unclear what happened, to be honest. I didn't even read the piece. Sorry. Was it good? Did you read it? No.
She tweeted, not doing any videos, interviews, or photos for the rest of my life. LOL, don't ask. Thumbs up. So it's like, what happened?
Yeah.
And then she followed up with, shout out to Normani and Megan. So it's like, is there drama between her and Megan and Normani? But then she says, shout out to Normani and Megan, though. My sisters, who I love very much and respect deeply. Honored to be a part of anything with these two black queens. Heart, prayer emoji, crown emoji. Then she says, my anxiety has 0.03% to do with outside opinion. I was bullied all through high school and could care less. It's my own thoughts that hit different. So something about this cover made her very anxious and she's upset. But the cover's very good.
Confused. Well, it's just confusing because that's such a broad statement. I'm never doing a magazine cover ever, a photo shoot or a video ever again. You certainly are going to be doing that when your album comes out or whatever happens next with you, because SZA's kind of disappeared. Not disappeared, but, you know, is working on something. What was the tweet that you sent me? All three of these women, where's the album or something?
Oh, it says that it was Pop Crave tweeted the cover. SZA, Megan Thee Stallion, and Normani are music's next superstars on the March cover of Rolling Stone.
Right.
And then this response from someone, Black Pink Butters responded, they all have one thing in common. Where's the album?
Where's the album is such a weird
modern
thing. And it's honestly, it's all Rihanna's fault, but that it's gotten this big. But it's such a such a fandom, but not as much as Rihanna. Like, because
it originated for me with Beyonce, with Where's the Album, before Beyonce came out.
But Beyonce never went that far. But Beyonce never went that far between albums to really have Where's the Album be the joke or the thing that it became with Rihanna, to the point where she's responding to Where's the Album, you know, in that
right.
way.
Rihanna took longer between Unapologetic and Anti, that's for sure. And also Anti and TBD.
Also, I feel like Where's the Album is not even kind of a mean thing to say, but I think artists hate it the most of anything that people say to them. Where's the album?
It's what's an equivalent for normies like us when you're in a conversation and someone asks a question that's like, if you fucking, like, how dare you ask me that? It's sort of like,
what? Like, what are you up to? No.
Like, what do you, is it like, is it like,
are you having kids?
Is it like, are you having kids? How's, yeah, when are you going to have kids? Oh, my God.
Yeah, we talked about it in the
future. Similar to, like, when are you going to have kids?
For 30-somethings.
But also, like, when people just ask you about your job when they know that your job's sort of frustrating to you, you know?
I guess.
When people ask you things they should know better to ask you about, you know?
I don't know if there's an equivalent, because it is really based around the expectations of a fandom and thinking people not really knowing what you're doing and assuming you're doing nothing. Okay, so maybe it is a little relatable, or just people thinking that you're just out here doing nothing, not working hard, not making anything, and are just like, okay, so sweetie, where's the album? Because so many people are on that album cycle that is like every 2 years or whatever, whatever the cycle is. So God forbid you take longer than that, you know. But it's also hard. I also think that it has to do with modern day fandom being so involved in like the careers of their beloved idols, because you have someone like Normani who comes out, who has this like hit single, and everyone who is invested in her is like, okay, where's the album? Like, now she should have an album, because like, oh, that single was so good and now she's like riding high from it, but where's the album? It's right. Because and we're all a bunch of fucking nosy know-it-alls about the music industry.
We think we know everything. Just look at us. We have a podcast. Everyone thinks they know everything. So everyone's more judgmental than they've ever been before.
Yeah. It's personal. Also, it gets weirdly personal, I think, too. The where's the album couple, thing.
And then couple that with a truly deranged desire for likes and RTs.
Yeah.
You want to say, you want to bully SZA and Normani and Megan Thee Stallion by saying, where's the album? Not only because you really want to know where the album is, but also because you want gay people to see you ask where's the album so that they will like your tweet about where's the album.
Saying where's the album is its own ecosystem of kind of whatever. It's its own thing.
I just love that this is all predicated on like... the belief that Sis is being serious. All these headlines, it's like, she's never going to do another photograph or interview. And it's like, are you kidding?
But also, you know, Normani and SZA, where they been? But Megan Thee Stallion's everywhere. I guess she doesn't have an album yet, but she's on every track. Every track she's on. So it's kind of unfair to kind of lump them all together. And apparently, according to some other thing I was reading, SZA is on the new Justin Timberlake Trolls track. That's coming out.
There's a new Trolls movie?
There's always a new Trolls movie. That's like asking, is there a new Christmas? Every year we got a new Christmas.
I finally watched Sack Lunch Bunch on
It's so good, right?
The John Mulaney
thing. So good.
It's so fucking good. I couldn't believe how much I liked it.
I told you.
I could not believe
butter
it. I watched it twice.
Butter Noodles is my
a plain pita pasta with a little bit of butter.
Yeah.
It's my favorite song.
That is the jam.
It's the best song. But there's the focus group part where they were talking about Bamboo 2 Bamboozled, the fake koala movie. Yeah. But he's like, they talk about how like it's now their favorite movie of all time because they just watched it. Yeah. And it's like it outweighed their previous favorite movie of all time, which was Minion 7, President Minion.
Raise your hands if this movie that you just saw, Bamboo 2 Bamboozled, is your favorite movie of all time. Okay, that's unanimous. And who among you thinks you might run home and tell the entire plot of the movie breathlessly to the first adult they see?
In the movie, the koala Kimmy has...
Yeah, I produced it, I know, but
Kimmy the koala has to go find her mojo, so she goes to the jungle, and then they fall in the mud, and at the end there's a song, and but one part I forgot was when the kangaroo falls on its butt.
Could we use that entire thing as the logline to the movie?
You may.
I actually can relate to being like, the movie that I just watched is my favorite movie of all time. That is so relatable to me.
That was especially me in like elementary school.
Every time I watch a movie, I'm like, that's the best movie I'll ever see. I'm giving up.
And my siblings would make fun of me because my brother would always like joke about my tendency to veer towards hyperbole. He'd be like, oh, is it your favorite? It's your favorite, isn't it?
Wow.
And he'd be like, yeah, it is. Bullying. Yeah, it is.
Oh, true bully. Oh, by the way, I just want to be clear, the troll song or whatever, this song with SZA and Timberlake is coming out. It's coming out on the 26th. So, which is tomorrow for you guys. Yeah, that's true.
For them.
Okay, I'm moving on. Moving on.
I can't wait to hear it. We're out here we're desperate to listen to this song we absolutely have not heard before from Lady Gaga. And meanwhile, it's
stop
like,
every time.
What about this? What about this troll song? It's like, I don't want this.
Bobby is so desperate for Lady Gaga to release a song he already has in his possession and has listened to so many times.
I don't have it.
No, excuse me.
I've never heard the song.
I'm just
saying. I don't
even
know what the song is called.
Gaga, release Stupid Love, which I love, but wouldn't know what it sounds like. But I actually love. No, I love it. It is very
good. Never heard it, and I don't know what it's called. I have, however, it is funny, like whenever you open Spotify and you're like, maybe today is the day, and then it's like, no, but what about this? And then Spotify, rude ass Spotify, serves me this new Alanis Morissette single called Smiling.
Which you claim
is honestly
good.
Pretty good.
Well, this is like how the Queen of Disaster, that unreleased Lana Del Rey song from 45 years ago that like fell out of her computer, is now a TikTok meme.
It's a TikTok.
It's a TikTok meme. So now I open TikTok and I'm flipping, and I'm hearing Lana Del Rey, Queen of Disaster, an MP3 that I've had in my documents for 10 years. Not 10
can't
years.
Can't even stream Queen of Disaster.
You can't even
you have
stream
to have
it.
The MP3.
Every time I get a new computer, I gotta make sure my Queen of Disaster MP3 is in the folder so it can go into my Spotify. So I can hear Queen of Disaster. Now it's a meme.
God, so many songs fell out of Lana Del Rey's laptop.
Just fell right out of her laptop. Did she lose a laptop that literally said Lana Del Rey songs on it? Like, written in fucking... Who stole all these songs?
The only person who's allowed to ask where's the album is Lana Del Rey about her own unreleased album.
Where's my album? I'm not sure I where's misplaced it. Album? I misplaced it 4 years ago and I'm not sure where it is.
You know, that is the story that, you know, our generation's best music journalists have to... Right. We have to find the thief who stole Lana Del Rey's laptop and put
thousands of MP3s. Thousands.
It's absolutely one person. It's one person.
Thousands
who is this
of
person?
MP3s are just around the I just cannot believe this one song that is just becoming a meme on TikTok. Kids are like, wow.
Can we play a clip?
This?
Is it are we allowed to play a clip of it?
I'm playing a clip.
Because it's on TikTok.
I'm playing.
Lala sent me a great TikTok making fun of Claire Saffitz and Chris Morocco set to Queen of Disaster. And I was like, wait a second.
Right.
This is too many of my favorite things.
If you had a kid, that's what it would come out as. A TikTok about Claire Saffitz and Chris Morocco set to Queen of Disaster.
The doctor's like, it's a this? It's a I don't know. Whatever okay. It is, it's extremely gay. God, yet again, think about that tweet. Thanks, gay. One of my all-time favorite tweets. Who was that? And anxiety.
Thanks, gay.
Thanks, gay.
Okay. Can we please move on to something heterosexual?
Yes, Will Arnett and girlfriend Ella. Oh, there's so much heterosexuality in the rest of this episode.
Thank you, please. Thank you. I just need equal I need equal representation. Okay, thanks.
I know. It's what is it? What is the act?
Equality Act?
The act that Bill Clinton repealed, that where you have to talk about both sides on the news equal. No, the Fairness Doctrine. God, why couldn't I think of that? The Fairness Doctrine.
Well, I couldn't think of it either.
The Equal Time Rule. And then it was repealed in, when was it repealed? It was revoked in 1985. Oh, Reagan did it. Am I wrong?
I don't. You're just.
Doesn't matter. I'm spiraling.
You're spiraling.
Will Arnett and girlfriend Alessandra Braun, as in Brawny without the Y, the towels without the Y, uh-huh. Expecting their first child together. This is a shocking development.
Didn't know
me.
These two were dating.
I think we knew they were dating. I think we mentioned it.
Really?
We may have cut that we mentioned it, but we definitely mentioned it.
If we mentioned it, we cut it.
It's one of those things where it's like, oh, Will Arnett, this dude who dates a lot of younger women post his divorce from like what was at one point Hollywood's favorite couple, dates a lot of younger women. Who cares about this anymore? But it turns out they might be in it to win it, because now they're going to have a kid.
He's hosting Lego Masters.
Which is good.
Currently. You watched it? You liked it?
I watched the first episode. It's not what I thought it was. It's actually kind of cool.
How could it
I don't
not
know.
Be
it's
what
cool.
You thought it was? It's people playing with Legos.
I thought it was like new people. I thought it was sort of like a nailed it thing.
No, like it's, where it was it's new impressive people every week. Legos, not.
Yeah. And so it's you know, like Project Runway or Top Shop, where it's the same people every episode. They just eliminate them one by one. I thought it was like new people every week, and I thought that would be boring.
No,
but it's actually
it's
sort
Project
of
Runway.
They're high stakes. They're high stakes. It's Project Runway.
For sure. So she is the former CEO of the clothing brand Chapel. But that's like not even – that's just like the only thing that Us Weekly could kind of sum her up in. Mm-hmm. Her ex-husband is this guy named John Nedich. And they were like guest of a guest, Vogue, et cetera, like number one
guest
favorite
of a
couple
the
when they were together.
Patrick McMillan or whatever.
Because he runs this hospitality group that opens bars. So he's – you know, New York's guy or one of New York's guys. They opened Acme and these bars. Literally, what's so funny is I've never heard of half of these bars. Like, I go to bars and I've never heard of The Happiest Hour and Tijuana Picnic.
The Happiest Hour, I've been there. The Happiest Hour sucks. It's like next door to Duplex, and it's like you walk in and it's like, oh, I hear they have a good like Manhattan, and you walk in and there's like 8 billion people in there. It's like kind of a cool aesthetic, but it's just very hip.
The bar that I know we have been to, because we've been there together, that he helped open is Justin Theroux's Faux Dive Bar Rays.
We did go to Justin Theroux's Faux Dive Bar Rays, and I did like Justin Theroux's Faux Dive Bar Rays.
I did too. I would return to Justin Theroux's Faux Dive Bar Rays. So he helped open that with his group. I'm now forgetting what the name of the group is. I have it somewhere. Oh, Golden Age Hospitality, right? Mm-hmm. So they were like this power couple, this New York power couple. And that means, which is unfortunate to the fact that they broke up, they were written about as a couple like 1,000 times mm-hmm. by like websites that I swear to you, you'll never hear of again. Like the Titleist. Oh, and
they did the Wythe Hotel rooftop. Oh my God. This is an aesthetic.
I know.
Okay?
It's
just like desperately trendy for those of you who have not been to these places. They're just like desperately trendy, but they are successful. It's just like you know exactly what you're getting into.
I mean, this is a couple who literally 99.9% of the world doesn't know their names, but their wedding got written up in Vogue, which is, you know, mm-hmm. like a favor thing, essentially. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know Vogue likes to do fancy weddings, and it was a fancy wedding, but it's also just like.
And she's fashion adjacent. It yes. makes sense.
She remains fashion adjacent. Mm-hmm. So now she's with Will Arnett.
Now she's with Will Arnett. And now she's apparently pregnant.
Yes, apparently, according to this.
Does it say when they're due? No.
No. No. Let's see what so people reported it. I think I don't know who broke it. Who cares? I'm sure it was given to whatever.
Us Weekly.
Let's see. Both have
they
children.
They both have children from other relationships. Okay.
Us Weekly was the first to report it. Then you click on Us Weekly. Do they have any other information? They are very happy and thrilled. The Lego Movie's actor's girlfriend is I hate Us Weekly. The Lego Movie's actor's girlfriend is pregnant, multiple sources tell us exclusively. They are very happy and thrilled in insider ads. There's nothing like being their father. Okay, he's talking about his boys, Archie and Abel, with Amy Poehler. Blah blah blah.
We're falling down a hole.
What do you mean we are?
It's no longer interesting.
Are you sure?
You know what's interesting? The photo I just sent you.
Okay, wait. Let me look. Remember he dated that woman Elizabeth Law? We were obsessed with her for a second too. He dates interesting women. Remember her thing? She had a thing, but I already forgot it.
Yeah. Then guess what? The interesting woman dump him. So.
Me when I'm reportedly thrilled. Yeah, they both look thrilled. They both look thrilled.
They both look miserable.
I mean, it's really funny that Will Arnett's face looks like what BoJack Horseman's voice, which is his voice, it represents. You know, it's very, that's good. It'll always be good. I know you don't watch BoJack Horseman, but it's very good casting in terms of Will Arnett and his full vibe. Okay, let's move on. Please.
Silly game.
Yeah, they always are. Yeah?
But it's called. Questions and answers. Okay, so the way that this game works, I was looking at Us Weekly yesterday, and I was noticing that a lot of headlines
are framed
as questions.
Okay.
Are structured as questions. And this is not just an Us Weekly thing, it's all over the place. Some of them are questions that have answers, some of them are questions that do not have answers. And so I just found a lot of headlines in the past week that are phrased, that are structured as questions, and I want to see if you can answer the question if I give you multiple choice.
Okay.
Just based on the headline.
Okay.
Okay. Sure. You'll get the how this works after one question.
I get it.
From Us Weekly. Number one. Are Southern Charms Catherine Dennis and ex Thomas Ravenel back on? Yes, no, or unclear.
Oh shit. It could be any of those.
Exactly.
Let's say yes.
I'm sorry, the answer is no. This is how the story got started. There was a fan account posted a pic of them together, and it says, when you get the good news that Southern Charm has finally started filming, but bad news that these two are officially back together.
Oh, no. That was a misleading headline.
And then Catherine commented and said, not true. So it's not true. They're not back on. Okay.
Okay. I like this game.
Okay. Number two.
Yeah.
From Us Weekly.
Yeah.
Question. Jerika Hinton. What's in her bag? Is it Icebreakers, ice cubes, sugar-free peppermint gum, pure gum, sugar-free spearmint chewing gum, or Simply Gum natural maple chewing gum?
The last one.
No, it was a trick question. It was the most obvious brand, Icebreakers, ice cubes, sugar-free peppermint gum.
How is that a trick question?
Because you would think it would be like from a fancy company, but it was just straight up Icebreakers.
If you had said like there's no gum in her bag, I would have killed you. So continue.
No, it was like I thought, because you thought it would be like, I only buy gum from like the Honest Gum Company that's made from like organic bee something.
It was that whatever. Icebreakers gum that has like the jelly in the middle.
Yeah, it's an Icebreaker sugar. I love sugar that shit. Okay. Us, exclusive. Who encouraged Matthew Perry to join Instagram? That's that line.
Uh-huh. I think I know the answer to this, unfortunately.
Is it Courtney Cox?
Yeah.
Marta Kaufman?
Uh-huh.
Or Molly Hurwitz?
Who's Molly Hurwitz?
His girlfriend.
Oh. Courtney Cox.
No, I'm sorry. It's Molly Hurwitz. Let me quote from Us Weekly. Her idea. Matthew Perry's girlfriend, Molly Hurwitz, had a hand in the actor finally joining Instagram after some familiar faces did the same. Okay, so it's Molly Hurwitz.
I hate that. Okay, fine. I hate this game. Yeah.
Number four. You said you liked it.
Yeah, but I'm not good at it. So
no,
I hate it now.
Number four. Wedding bells, Jen Garner and John Miller's relationship, everything we know.
Okay, but that
are
wasn't...
there wedding bells?
Okay.
Wait, are there wedding bells?
Oh, okay, okay.
Yes,
okay, okay.
No, or unclear?
Unclear.
No, it's no.
No.
There are just no wedding bells.
No.
There are just no wedding bells.
Wait, but is it unclear no?
No, because according to the source, quote, John very much wants to marry her, but he knows she can't be rushed. So there are no bells.
Okay, fine. I'll never get a question right. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, and then this one, this is from E, which I just love. This is only you can answer this question. Did you catch Young Sheldon's Big Bang Theory crossover?
Okay, so
yes,
I have to get
no,
this
we're
right.
Unclear.
I have to get this right.
Get it? Did you get it right?
No.
Yes, no, we're unclear.
No.
No?
I didn't catch it.
Is that your truth?
Yes, I didn't catch it.
Okay, then you got it right.
Okay,
you got it right.
Finally. Okay. I finally got the question.
Okay. Okay, next question. This
you
is from
just trust
Celebici.
Okay.
Queen Letizia in a sleek cos dress in Madrid. : Chic, goth, fab, or all of the above? Okay. So is it chic, goth, fab, or all of the above? I base this based on what the author actually wrote in the copy.
Wait.
Chic, goth, fab, or all of the above?
All of the above.
No, I'm sorry, Lindsay. The answer is chic. Chic only. The person wrote, I thought Letizia's dress was a full-length knitwear gown, and I was like, how chic? OMG.
Not goth.
So it's just chic.
Oh, fuck.
It's just chic.
Okay, okay, okay.
No.
Okay, okay.
Okay. From Gossip Cop. This should be obvious. Did Brad Pitt relapse on weed? Yes, no, or unclear?
No.
No,
of course
correct.
Not.
That's yes. Here's what they wrote. Brad Pitt did not relapse on weed
Gossip
last
Cop,
year.
The answer is okay. Always no.
Okay. Next one from TMZ. Niecy Nash. Good jeans or good docs?
Fuck.
So is it good jeans or good docs? I went to the poll at the bottom.
Yeah.
I took part in the poll.
Okay.
And I got the poll results. So
okay.
This is based on the poll results.
Okay. Okay.
Does Niecy Nash have good jeans or good docs?
I'm going to guess they said good jeans.
Good jeans won 58% okay. to 42%. You got it right. Yeah. Okay.
Good jeans or okay. good docs?
Okay.
Okay.
From Bossa.
Okay.
How you doing? Is Wendy Williams getting her talk show couch cakes crumbled to smithereens by this mystery man? Yes, no, or unclear?
I want to say I saw this and I read all of about it. I want to say it's unclear.
It's unclear.
Yeah.
It's unclear.
Yeah.
Because
unclear.
They talk about what happened and then the copy
unclear.
Admits it's still a mystery
yeah,
if these two are
know.
An item or not. Okay, okay. We don't know. It's unclear.
Yeah.
Okay. Also, Bossip. Single or nah? Ryan Henry responds to rumors he's chopping down Crystal Smith and back with his baby mama. Yes, no, or unclear? Single or nah?
Yes.
So single,
single
nah,
single,
or
yes,
unclear?
Single. Single.
Yes, single. You're right.
Okay.
This is Ryan from Black Ink Crew. They asked if he was still dating Crystal Smith, and he said, I don't know what you're talking about. That's a no.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, that's
he's single.
That's single.
And then the last question, again, this is your journey, not mine.
Fuck.
Melissa in The Longest Yard. Remember her? Do you remember Melissa in The Longest Yard? Yes or no?
No, I don't remember her.
That's correct. You don't remember her. Okay, it looks like you got like a solid C minus.
But all of them were like opinion, like my own subjective.
Only two of them were your own subjective opinions.
Okay, that's a very, very good,
good
game, but I didn't do well. Okay.
You did okay.
I didn't do well, but I'm okay with it because it was a good game.
Lindsay, what quince did you get when we got some quince promo?
I got cheats. I got sheets. Me too. I got beautiful sheets. I got beautiful sheets. Beautiful sheets.
Oh, wait. No, I didn't. No, I didn't. I lied. I got a duvet cover. Same thing, though.
A friend of mine reached out and said, you know how you say on the Quince ad that you have 365 days for returns? I once used that feature and it was incredible. It was so easy and great. And I said, wow, that's so nice to hear, because Quince offers free shipping and 365 day returns. And that's part of one of their many offerings, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14 karat gold jewelry.
Oh yeah, you're obsessed with the washable silk tops.
It's hard to, washing silk is a pain in the tush.
Not normally. From Quince.
Normally.
And all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands because they partner directly with top factories that can cut the cost of the middleman and pass the savings right on to me, Lindsay, and you. And they only work with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. We love that. So indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/who for free shipping on your order. And as she said, 365 day returns. That's quince.com/who to get free shipping and 365 day returns. Quince.com/who. Who Weekly is sponsored by Squarespace. We love Squarespace. We use Squarespace to advertise our show, to advertise our tour, to sell merch, to post great press that we get, to communicate with our listeners because there's an easy contact form. If we didn't have a Squarespace, your brand experience with Who Weekly would be considerably worse.
Considerably worse. Are you kidding? If I can't update, if I can't... Actually, you know what? Speaking of, I just realized the tour dates are still up. I got to take them off. The tour is over. Got to prepare for the next one. And you know what? I can do that in about 5 seconds. It will be so easy for me to do that.
Thank God their interface is intuitive and easy to use because we can make changes to our website very quickly and not stress out about it. We've used Squarespace for about as long as our podcast has existed. Can't imagine our website living anywhere else. And if you're intrigued, go to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch your amazing website, go to squarespace.com/who to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. This is also
I know.
Stupid.
This is so stupid.
Jana Kramer and Mike Cawson redo New Year's Eve after nude photo drama tainted holiday. We keep hearing about these two and they're always having issues.
Always.
And it's always
issues.
Because he's a cheater.
Right. Well, it's the same issue that keeps coming back. He claims that a bot sent him a nude photo.
Which happens.
No, it doesn't.
That happens.
No, it doesn't.
Remember that one nude photo that everyone was getting like 2 years ago?
No.
And it was like, it wasn't nude, it was cleavage. And I got it, and I think it was with you when I got it, and I was like, what is this? Is this a wrong number? And then I noticed that everyone was getting it, and people were tweeting about this like photo of cleavage.
No, I don't remember that at all.
So I feel like that's happened once.
Okay, so this,
I've definitely
this
gotten
is
a bot
not
cleavage.
That. So these two, their New Year's Eve was ruined because he had a nude on his phone, I guess, or something, and he admitted he had cheated before at some other point. And so now they celebrated New Year's again, but recently now.
To redo it.
But now. They watched the ball drop again. Why would you? Okay, whatever. So they watched the ball drop again.
They're lunatics.
The funny thing is the side, because I got a screenshot of this text and it included some of the side headlines, the past headlines, and they are Jana Kramer finds photo of topless woman on husband Mike Cawson's phone and Jana Kramer apologizes to those offended by hot nanny comments.
I don't remember these hot nanny comments. Let me look at this. Jana Kramer apologizes. I'm looking on People. Let me get this right. Jana Kramer says hot nanny comments were taken out of context after Ashley Spivey claps back. Jana Kramer wrote on Instagram, "For the nannies I have offended, I'm sorry."
What?
The new Jenny Han book. To all the nannies I have offended before.
To the nannies I've offended.
Coming soon to like Lifetime movie channel. Okay. Yeah, they're a mess.
I look up this person every time I see her name, and she was on One Tree Hill, and then she sang country music. And every time I'm like, what? Okay, fine, sure. All right.
What she said was, hiring hot nannies is not smart because it tempts the husband. And she says, when your husband cheats, she said, I just think you look at some of these nannies and I'm like, well, you kind of asked for it.
Ooh, you can't
so
say
that's
that.
That's bad. You can't say that.
You can't say that. Oh my God.
Yeah. So that was a whole thing that was last April.
I can't believe they redid
New Year's. Also, New Year's sucks. Why would you want to redo New Year's?
Yeah, New Year's is bad. Well, their last one was
If your husband weren't a cheater, you wouldn't have had a good time on New Year's Eve. I'm sorry. It's not fun.
Maybe they
think it's going
to
be fun.
Maybe they did this to get press because there was speculation that they were going to split, which is what this headline says from the Union Journal parentheses blog. So I don't know.
I love this.
What?
Lily Reinhardt has a new man in her life and his name is Milo. Okay. You had like a breakdown because of
this. Well, okay. First of all, I knew that Lily Reinhardt got a dog. Don't ask. I just knew because I saw it on her Instagram.
So you knew it as in like you had read it, not just like you had a feeling.
Like I saw the Instagram that Lily Reinhardt got a dog. So when I saw this headline, I knew they meant a dog. But the headline says Lily Reinhardt has a new man in her life and his name is Milo. And I was like, okay, I get what you're doing and it's cheeky. And it's rude because it's not a man. It's a dog.
It's not a man.
It's a male dog. So you could say Lily Reinhardt has a new male in her life and his name is Milo, a male dog. But you can't say that she has a new man in her life because it's not a man. It's a dog.
A man is a human.
A man is a human. A male, it could be.
Just Jared doesn't know that. Jared missed that day of like fourth grade English. Okay.
Do you think this is at all?
Is the dog cute? I haven't seen the dog.
Ugh, yeah, it's cute. It's cute. It's cute. It's
okay,
cute.
When I type in Just Jared, L-I-L. Oh, Just Jared, L-I. L-I-L? Oh, weird. The suggestions with L-I-L are, even though it's not L-I-L, Just Jared, Little Mix. Just Jared, Little Mermaid. And then I get Just Jared, Lily Reinhardt.
Mine are Just Jared, Lily Rose Depp. Just Jared, Lily Reinhardt. Just Jared, Lily Collins. Just Jared, Lily James. Just Jared, Lily Aldridge. In
case you're wondering. You don't get Little Mix?
No.
Weird. Huh. Mine starts with Just Jared, Little Mix, and
mine
and
is
then
also
Little Mermaid.
Just Jared, even Lizzo. Just Jared, Liam Hemsworth. Just Jared, Liam Payne.
I have Just Jared, Lincoln Bio. Just Jared, Liev Schreiber. Who's going to Just Jared to read Liev Schreiber news? I mean, I guess I am. I was in the village yesterday, and I was walking down the street.
Oh,
in
the village.
Beautiful day. Yes, beautiful day. And, well, I went to the museum. And then
look at you.
Beautiful day. And I saw a, like, very New York daddy, like, on his bike with two kids in the bike.
A New York daddy.
And I was like, oh, it's a New York daddy. Is it Liev Schreiber?
Stop.
Because I want one of my dream celebrity
every
settings is
father
Liev Schreiber on his bike.
Every father you see with kids on a bike you think is Liev Schreiber?
Well, it wasn't even that I couldn't even see that. I just think that like I'm my dream celebrity sighting, one of them, is Liev Schreiber on his bike because he has that like old school bike with the baskets.
Yeah, little box and sometimes, or whatever.
Sometimes there are like kids in the bike, but sometimes there's like groceries in the bike. And I just want to see Liev Schreiber on a bike. I've seen Cherry Jones on a bike, which we've talked about. So every time I see like a daddy, middle-aged white man on a bike in a celebrity-prone area, I like, is it Liev Schreiber? And I was like, damn it, it wasn't him. And I didn't see any celebrities. And I got so upset I didn't see a celebrity. But then, turn a corner, smack dab into one of the contestants on Project Runway this season. Jeffrey.
Wait, who?
The gay one.
Who
was
that?
The gay one with the plugs in his ears.
Oh, that was him?
Well, he was behind the daddy with the bike.
Oh, he wasn't the daddy with the bike.
No, he wasn't the daddy.
So you had this, you thought you were seeing Liev Schreiber, but you saw the guy from
Project
Runway.
This flash of disappointment, like, oh, why can't I ever see celebrities? And then, you know, that was a good celebrity for me.
Well, for you. Only for you. Somebody who's like actually very, very focused on watching Project Runway.
I mean, it's not like I ran into Brittany Snow or Anna Kendrick or Anna Camp. That would have been an even better celebrity
sighting. On their Pitch Perfect themed bachelorette party, which actually was not Pitch Perfect.
More semantics you hate.
Well, I was just mad because they called it a Pitch Perfect themed bachelorette party. And I was like, why are the stars from this old movie doing a themed of that movie? It was a lot. It was a lot. It was very much.
But it didn't actually mean it was a Pitch Perfect theme.
No,
they just said
their
theme was a Pitch Perfectly chosen.
No. No, because they capitalized Pitch Perfect. So it would be implying that it's the movie, but I think they called it Pitch Perfect themed because the stars of the movie Pitch Perfect were there at the party, which is them. They are them. They are the stars. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, I was looking at the party and I was like, is there anything about this party that makes it Pitch Perfect themed other than the fact that the three girls who were in Pitch Perfect are at the party? And the answer was no.
But the theme was, it had a theme.
Yeah, it was bachelorette party.
Hold on. Now I'm confused.
They did.
So she had a birthday party.
No.
Wait, she had a bachelorette party. Yes. But what was the theme?
Nothing. Bachelor,
so it wasn't even a theme birthday.
No,
party.
But they call, but headlines said it was called, it was a Pitch Perfect themed bachelorette party, but it was not.
See, what I thought this was a man dog situation where it was like, it was a, the theme was a Pitch Perfectly chosen theme, but it was like, the theme was like hustlers, you
right,
know,
you
like,
thought it was a wordplay.
I thought it was wordplay, but it's actually just stupidity.
It's
okay.
Just stupidity. It's just stupidity. Okay. It's just stupid shit.
New couple alert. Kate Beckinsale's ex-husband Len Wiseman and Gossip Girl actress Jessica Sojourner leave Paris Hilton's birthday party together.
Right? Right? Wiseman was previously married to ex-wife Dana while Beckinsale was partnered with Mike with actor Michael Sheen until both left their respective relationships upon meeting and working together on Underworld. So that was a fun fact. That's just, yeah, this is boring. Let's
I
be going.
I do like that Kate Beckinsale's ex-husband is getting some headlines about relationship speculation because I'm honestly sort of sick of Kate Beckinsale's relationship speculation because she's, it's just like not, it's not interesting anymore.
Kate Beckinsale
she's a troll.
As,
Kate Beckinsale's a troll.
Well, Kate Beckinsale, who, if you literally said, hey, is Kate Beckinsale actually working? Is she actually in anything currently? I could not tell you. And yet I feel like I see her name twice, three times a week now at this point. So often. Once a
she
day.
She was just in that,
What was she in?
She was just in that one show, I thought.
What show? Oh, her
the Widow.
Oh, her husband.
The Amazon show, because we laughed about it.
But it
the
that
Widow.
Came out 40 years ago.
A year ago.
That's a year ago. I just feel like Kate Beckinsale is so good at getting headlines right now. She is the Chrissy Teigen of sexy ladies over the age of whatever. I don't even know.
Well, I just looked at her most recent headline, and it's from a day ago on The Blast.
Yeah. What does it say?
And it says, Kate Beckinsale's bikini buddy called, quote, illegal in bombshell bathroom shot, which is just because a commenter was like, your body is illegal.
I'm telling you.
Because it's so hot.
Kate Beckinsale is somehow just the, I bet if you did like a chart or something, the name Kate Beckinsale has risen just steeply in the past year because of sexy bikini shot.
Also on The Blast, Kate Beckinsale, 10 minutes ago, Kate Beckinsale shows off tube top dance moves to Bananarama. Her cat is not impressed.
What?
Kate Beckinsale in a bikini with the cat is too much work. That's too many things. That's all of the trends. That's all of the internet in one thing.
Sorry, I'm searching Kate Beckinsale to see the trend.
On Google Trends, I'm looking as well.
12 months.
I'm looking over the past 5 years. It's a pretty, not much to it. There was a spike with Pete Davidson last year, but since then,
There's been a few spikes. But you're right. It's pretty steady. So I was wrong. But I just feel like I think her name is her name has been everywhere.
She's in more headlines. I do feel like she's in more headlines.
Right? Although the Pete Davidson broke her out of whatever, sent her on a journey. Because
her interest as a news search has gone up since 2015. But only slightly. However, if you put whatever that line in one of these graphs is, it would be on a very slow ascent. It has gone up. Okay. I think it's just not as extreme as we expected, but it's definitely gone up significantly.
It's rising.
Yeah, it's rising. Good for her.
Good for her. Okay. Is that all that we have? Oh, I found this funny thing on Reddit. I don't know if you wanted to.
Well, what happened was Elizabeth Chambers Hammer, who is the wife of Armie Hammer / owner of a bakery in Texas, was selling her daughter's Girl Scout cookies on her own Instagram account. And
with
it was like a
swipe
thing.
Up.
She had a swipe up to buy,
and it linked
to Harper's. I think all's fair in love and Girl Scout cookies, honestly, because I think that Girl Scout, it's like a charity. So it's like do whatever you want to.
Yeah, but they get awards for it and stuff. There's like, it is kind of a competition too.
Yeah, but I feel like I don't like this. If I were a parent without the swipe up functionality in my Instagram, I would be annoyed. But at the same time, I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth because when I watch True Beverly Hills, I love that Phyllis Neffler organizes a big event, like a gala for Girl Scout cookies.
I know, to sell those cookies.
I love that she did that.
But it's a little, that's a little different. The girls are still working for that than their mom putting a swipe up in her Instagram stories to buy cookies from her daughter.
Right. Phyllis wouldn't do all the work for
Also, she wanted to sell her daughter's cookies. She could put the cookies in her fucking bakery. She has a bakery. Send the daughter, go to the bakery, sit in the bakery, sell the cookies.
I love turning on a dime a million times in one episode because now I've decided that I'm really upset as Elizabeth Chambers' employees because it's like you are
selling
cannibalizing our profits.
Right.
Is that the right word? I'm not sure.
She should be selling her own cookies, but she's selling,
You know what Barbara Corcoran would do? Barbara Corcoran, if she had a bakery, she would just ramp up promo for her own bakery and be like, compete with me, daughter. See if you can sell more cookies than I can.
Well, that would teach a lesson. It would also give trauma, but it would teach a lesson.
It would give trauma, but it would also be like the title of her memoir when she was 45.
Right. This woman would be, she'd become very successful, but then she would also be like, I hate my mom.
And then she would hate her mom, but then whenever she was in middle age, she would go to respect her mom and she would say, you know what, my mom taught me good lessons. Although there was a little minor cookie-related trauma when I was a tween.
Cookie-related trauma. But it made me who I am. Okay, I think it's time.
Rita.
What was she wearing? Where was she seen? She posted what on Instagram? She's the Who Queen. Tens of people want to know all about the number one Who. Lindsay, Bobby, tell us now. What's Rita Ora up to?
Who is this woman?
Not a lot of Rita this week.
Mm-hmm. Well, Rita was, okay, but I sent you a Rita thing. Rita was hanging out with Cassie David. Did you see that?
Yeah, we can put that, we can actually talk about that video because that's the best part. Someone asks her if anyone calls her Rita, and she's like, yeah, that's my name.
Yes to your Wagyu.
Yes to your fishy
thing. What is this? Oh, it's that's Cassie asking her that?
Yeah, I think she's making a joke, but it's also just a weird reveal that Cassie David's there.
Yeah, my name.
Well, Cassie David is
everywhere.
Always weird revealing.
I just want to know, and I guess this is actually my job, but I'm not going to figure it out. I want to know how Cassie David and Rita Ora crossed paths. Like, how did their social circles meet? What was the push? Who introduced, how did Cassie David get in Rita Ora's sphere?
You and I both know that Rita's everywhere. And you and I both know that Cassie David was linked to Pete Davidson. Cassie David is a cool girl. Like,
I know, but I just want to know, like, the specific, like, what's the night out that Rita Ora ends up with Cassie in Cassie David's, with Cassie David? I mean, I'm more like Cassie David ends up in Rita Ora's social circle because, you know, Rita Ora is the leader.
Yeah, it's probably not through Rita. One of their mutual friends is probably someone who is Rita's pal or works for Rita in some way.
I want to know what the connection is. If you know, send us a message. It's probably obvious and whoever knows is probably like, duh, yeah.
Because all of, like, yes, Rita is fun. We say that all the time, but also, this is not a joke, Rita's very, very busy. So the people that Cassie would be meeting casually are probably not Rita. The people that Cassie is meeting casually are Rita's friends who actually party and have fun.
Maybe.
And then they were like, oh, Rita's in town.
It's just funny. Here's the thing that is also funny. Cassie David's brand, what she promotes herself as, is like antisocial. I'm an awkward girl. I'm a weird girl. You know what I mean? I'm a funny, weird girl. And Rita is the opposite of that. Mm-hmm. She is the social butterfly. She can talk to anyone. She can talk to a tree. She could party all night. She could wake up the next morning and party again. Like, that's why I'm a little bit, I want to know the connection.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, mm-hmm. What else? What else did she do?
She displayed her incredible abs in a crop top with leggings.
Okay. What else?
Okay. She displayed her remarkable stomach muscles and a crop leading with matching leggings as she performed up a sweat throughout a solo hike in LA times after her tonsillectomy. We're still talking about her tonsillectomy even though it was like two weeks ago.
Somebody called and said, FYI, tonsillectomy is so painful, so hard, not easy. Oh,
I believe it.
I believe it too. I
believe it.
But I thought about it a lot. Rita Ora makes bold fashion statement as she shows off her toned curves in striped unitard and checkered blazer. Ooh, sounds nice.
Yeah. And then she stunned sunbathing in a string bikini that was way too small for
her.
That was
all we actually talked about. That too small for her. They fit her. That's what they're supposed to look like.
Yes. That's also, I think, one of the bikinis we talked about last week with the really like substantial underboob.
I just hate when people are like, Rita Ora's bikinis don't fit. And it's like, honey, that's how she wants them to fit.
Then this is my favorite one from The Inquisitor. Rita Ora sizzles in a see-through bralette as she tries on a shirt. Quote, I hate shopping. It's annoying. And there's like photos of her at like what looks like a luxury brand fitting room. And she's posing. So someone else is in the fitting room with her. And she's like holding, she has her bralette on, but then she's putting on like a sort of a see-through blouse that still has the tags on it.
Mm-hmm.
But she's like kind of posing, putting it on. And it's a carousel. And she's like, oh, I can't like get it on. I'm like putting it on and it's weird. And the caption is, I hate shopping. It's annoying. Okay. Thank you for listening to Who Weekly. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Support us on patreon.com/WhoWeekly for weekly bonus episodes and several daily episodes per week, like short little mini episodes. Rate and reviews on Apple Podcasts. We've gotten some good ones lately, like one up them. Just make even better ones. Call in 619-WHO-THEM to leave questions, comments, and concerns for a Friday episode, Who's There?
Mm-hmm.
And go to our website to buy tickets for our show in DC at the end of March, I believe March 27th. It's going to be a lot
of fun. We're so excited. It's kind of a fun one-off, so it'll be wacky.
It'll be a fun little one-off. Why not? We love DC.
Yeah.
Okay. Have a good week. Bye.
Bye.
You will drain it. Yeah. Yeah.
They want to know.
Today's episode of Who Weekly is brought to you by the CW. Watch new episodes of Katie Keene on Thursdays at 8/7 Central, which ultimately is 8 Pacific. Think about it. Or what does that make it in Mountain?
Don't you dare.
Or stream free the next day on the CW app.